Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schottleutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call for the first time since their rift became public. The Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back, you know. Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we had light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet, and we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock, and he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about it. I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was, in part, the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And, yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things. From seed that you could develop, my grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow in with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid from not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who is working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us, I'm frightened too, I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schott-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
The Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out. We may talk a little bit of I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we had light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of and the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, people, for go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock. We found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internet, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it. It wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was, in part, the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, and he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer, go figure, but he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid from, not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth, and I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who is working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. When it was over, 11 people in three towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He was very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schott-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's a Ralph Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by by evildoers and horror shows, and the country's going to fall, and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it had 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet, and we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock, and he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about it. I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was, in part, the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow in 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, but he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge, and you see, and he was a kid from not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth, and I think he was because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us, I'm frightened too, I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real, tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schutt-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the Turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, call Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like, where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about it. I said to him, I said, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward, Nederland, in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who is working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. This is very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning right now S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan,
and it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schutt-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the Turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out. And we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity knocks. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we had light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks, and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet, and we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock, and he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, but he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge, and you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth, and I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter, who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached should they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schottleutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the Turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Carla Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing it.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans, what are you high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it had 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it. It wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, but he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge, and you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth, and I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents, with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schottleutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans, what are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, What? Listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. You know, broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks, and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock. We found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was, in part, the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow in 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid from not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter, who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular argument, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schutt-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the Turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you high? David Frum, too. It's like, what? Listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice, Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. You know, broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, people, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks, and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Wharton, Nederland, in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents, with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real, tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. This is very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter, who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
No respect!
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schott-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out. And we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans, what are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, What? Listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for Rural Electrification Project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet, and we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock, and he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver, hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it. It wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward, Nederland, in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents, with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us, I'm frightened too, I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people, if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in three towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. From CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schottleutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call for the first time since their rift became public. The Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute, that's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed. And I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what? Listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it. But part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we had light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like, where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internets. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about it. I said to him, I said, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it. It wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, but he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents, with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real, tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people, if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree, Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter, who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What's
strings attached should they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schutt-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
It's really progressing it.
We progress it.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out. And we may talk a little bit of, I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to, even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox, hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back, you know. Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression Era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it. And say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock. We found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in three towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schottleutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute, that's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Truly progressing.
We progressive. Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray, and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of... I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity knocks. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a sous-son, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it had, and 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet, and we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock, and he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver, hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And, yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things. From seed that you could develop, my grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Ward and Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college. But he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge. And you see, and he was a kid not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth. And I think he was, because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always, most always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents, with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think, this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real, tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy, and I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life, and I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail, and while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people, if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual who done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter, who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached do they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back. And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schott-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Mali say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out. And we may talk a little bit of, I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans, what are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to, even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox, hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back, you know. Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? Where are we? I mean, Barack Obama's still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a soupçon, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it, and 40% of it is Republican pork, I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly, silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order, and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of and the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, people, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I have the, I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock. We found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about, I said to him, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you follow Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband, internets, I pat, you know, interstate highways. I look at my keyboard and I think about all the development that the U.S. military did to bring us the internet. You know, let's face it, it wasn't Al Gore, by the way. It was in part the military. And the academia, which everybody always, you know, right-wing reactionaries love to jump on that. But without public funding into public universities, we wouldn't have half of the advances modern technology has brought us. Without the space program, we wouldn't have something I used this very morning, Velcro. Every time I use Velcro. And yes, is that geeky? Yes, I admit it. I'm a geek. But I also grew up in a small town where we learned to appreciate things from seed that you could develop. My grandfather helped develop a strain of winter wheat that could grow with 10 inches of rain. Very useful thing to have in northern Colorado. You know, and he did it in part from studying at the University of Colorado, which, yes, he had to pitch in small towns in Warden, Nederland in order to be able to go ahead and put himself through college, but he learned chemical engineering and then became a farmer. Go figure. But he used that knowledge, and you see, and he was a kid from not from privilege at all. He used to walk to school and with a hot potato in his pocket because it kept his hands warm on the way to, if he was telling us the truth, and I think he was because he was the kind of guy who said wry things, but they were usually always must always true, which made them even better. He used to walk to school with hot potatoes in his pockets so that he could eat his lunch later, which was the potato, right? But it would keep his hands warm on the way to school. So this is not a guy from privilege, right? But yet he grew up to travel almost all of the continents with the exception of Antarctica, and he now has a descendant who's working in Antarctica. So I never lose the marvel of things. And part of the reason she's working in Antarctica, I am going to tie this up, is because she's working for government-funded research to help support science in the coldest part of our planet. So, you see, it all really does work, and it all drives the engine of the world and the wonder of the universe. And in the midst of this depression, I think we have to remember that. When we look at all this money being spent, and we're frightened, and I don't blame us. I'm frightened, too. I'm not immune. But when I look around and I think this is an investment in our infrastructure, in our psyche, in our ability. Yesterday when Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, came out and spoke a few positive words about about regulation, goodness knows, which we need. Because you see, what our economy has been based on was artificiality. And I think as a farmer's kid or descendant, here's what I like. I like real truth. I like real tangible assets. And I've been thinking about this over the past few days as I watch us talk about what's happened to our economy. And I watch Bernie Madoff go into a courtroom downtown New York. I want that man to go to jail for the rest of his natural life. And I do not want him to be able to wait outside of jail. I hope they revoke his bail. And while he's waiting his sentencing, they throw him into the tombs. He deserves it. Of course, it probably won't be the tombs, but he deserves it. You know, he deserves everything he gets for cheating people if that's what he in fact did.
And AM760.net.
A bloody trail across southern Alabama.
None of this makes any sense to me.
Can Wall Street keep the rally going?
There could be 5, 10, 15% swings either way right now.
And waiting for Madoff's guilty plea.
He deserves no mercy whatsoever.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a terrifying rampage.
When I pulled off the highway to keep from getting hit, he shot my van.
Gene Howe, one of the lucky ones who escaped a shooting spree Alabama authorities say was carried out by Michael McClendon of Kinston. But it was over. 11 people in 3 towns were dead. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown is in Sampson.
His mother was found dead. We don't know for sure whether or not it was McClendon who killed her, but she was found dead inside her burning home. He left that home, came here to his aunt and uncle's house, opened fire on a home full of relatives, and then kept going from there.
The bloodshed ended in a metals plant where McClendon had worked when he put the gun to his head. There had been layoffs there, but it's not clear if McClendon had been among them. Waylon Tharp worked with McClendon at a local bakery.
I don't know what happened, but the individual that done the shooting was usually a very quiet individual. He's very reserved, very quiet.
In Germany, police say a 17-year-old gunman clad in a black combat uniform killed at least 11 people and wounded others at his former high school in the southwestern part of the country. Authorities are searching for the shooter who fled after the attack. After days of being hammered down to lows not seen in more than a dozen years, stocks surged yesterday. The Dow gained 380 points. Why the turnaround? CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says investors were encouraged by a positive report from Citigroup.
Citigroup is not out of the woods here. This operating profit they're talking about does not include any kind of write-downs they may have to take at the end of the quarter. And they still have, you know, billions and billions of dollars in bad assets on their books, which continue to be a problem. But this is a very encouraging sign for a bank that has been perceived to be in significant trouble.
And what are the chances the rally will build?
We are in a bear market, and, you know, bear market rebounds are often very sharp, but sometimes not sustained.
Well, this morning, right now, S&P futures are up more than 7 points. Uncle Sam has made billions in bailout money available to banks. Now some of them are saying thanks, but no thanks. We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
And it seems the problem centers on what the experts have been asking for weeks.
What strings attached should they have to that money?
There are plenty of strings, terms that include shareholder votes on executive pay and the ability for the government to add new conditions at will. Some big banks like Wells Fargo and even some smaller ones say it's too onerous, may hurt business. They're making plans to return what they've gotten or will get. One New York bank said yesterday it'll return $120 million as soon as regulators set up a process to take it back. CBS's Bob Fuss has more on the congressional effort to keep track of TARP bailout money.
The board set up by Congress to oversee the program will report on how it's doing. They previously slammed the secrecy, reporting they couldn't find out exactly where the money went, how it was used, and whether it was really helping the economy. The Obama administration has pledged far more openness, but also has warned even more billions may be needed before this is over. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Los Angeles, it's a sign of the recessionary time. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
It is something school districts across the nation are facing. Budget deficits, cutbacks, and layoffs. Here in Los Angeles yesterday, dozens of angry teachers tried to take over a Board of Education meeting. The teachers here are angry over nearly 9,000 layoff notices being sent to teachers and other school employees.
They're not going to cut public education without a fight.
Police threatened to make arrests.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly.
But no one was taken into custody. The teachers left after around 3 hours. However, they threatened to come back.
And CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's the Wednesday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where the time is 4 past the hour.
National Jewish Health. Science transforming life.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Former Governor Bill Owens set to take the stand in the Ward Churchill case today. Churchill's attorney spent much of yesterday questioning Phil DiStefano, who was interim chancellor at CU when controversy surrounded Churchill.
He called the victims of 9/11 in the Trade Tower Little Eichmanns, right?
For that particular article, yes.
Well, that's what... That was the gasoline poured on the fire that led to this massive blowout in late January, early February, right?
Correct.
All right.
Ward Churchill suing to get his job back at the university. He claims he was fired for statements regarding 9/11. The university says it was for plagiarism and other research misconduct. A bill that would allow convenience and grocery stores to sell full-strength beer is on tap today at the state capitol. Liquor stores say they'll be forced to lay off workers if the bill passes.
Beer is just the beginning. These grocery stores want wine and liquor next.
Liquor store owner Kim Schott-Leutner talking to 9 News. Convenience store owners like Sandip Molly say they need the additional revenue, especially after liquor stores were allowed to sell on Sundays.
We've already suffered the losses in sales, the loss of jobs.
The House Business Affairs Committee holds a hearing on that bill this afternoon. Colorado unemployment figures come out this morning, and more bad news is expected. The state jobless figure for January is expected to be higher than it was in December. The good news, Colorado's unemployment rate was still 2 points lower than the national number. Sports, the Avs lose to Atlanta 3-0, and new Broncos coach Josh McDaniels and quarterback Jay Cutler talked this week via conference call. For the first time since their rift became public, the Denver Post reports Cutler came away wondering whether he'll be traded before April's NFL draft. The Broncos say the conversation went well. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a pretty good start to this morning's commute. That's as far as the highways go. No slowing yet on I-25, I-70, or on the turnpike. We'd had some earlier construction on 36. They've been working right around Table Mesa. It's out of there, so are the slowdowns. There is a surface street crash in the cleanup stages, Federal and Jewel. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing through March 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
I think Barack Obama can do this.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
This guy could work.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
I'm so impressed, and I'm listening to this.
AM 760, Colorado. Colorado's Progressive Talk and AM760.net.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. As you know, Jay has had surgery, so I'm filling in and with you the rest of this week. So hooray and good on you, mate. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, and I just can't wait to get to them all. We're going to have Tom Hartman as a guest. We're going to have Dr. Christian Weller, and we're going to have Senator Chris Romer to talk about immigration and that bill. And we're going to decode it and explain it and figure it out, and we may talk a little bit of I think we got to talk about the economy, friends. I really do. I'm not going to say economy stupid. However, I will say this. The right wing has lost its mind, hasn't it? With the exception of David Brooks, who writes today to his fellow Republicans. What are you, high? David Frum, too. It's like, what, listen to Rush Limbaugh? Why do you want to? Even Newt Gingrich, who is Mr. Opportunity. Mr. Opportunity Knox. Hi, chance to, you know, I'm licking my finger and sticking it in the wind. Do I have a chance to change my mind? Yes. So, you know, Newty's always looking for a new way back. You know, Newty's all about, can I run again, please? Can I just be back in the game? No. So I think one of the things we have to think about is where are we? I mean, Barack Obama is still in his 50th day, right? I think this is his 51st day in office. And you would think from watching the national media and from watching the right-wing Republicans that we have been taken over by evildoers and horror shows and the country's going to fall and we're going to become socialist. That's Mitch McConnell's line. We're going to become socialist. I mean, hopefully the president isn't so rattled that he did walk back into the plane to tell the New York Times, really, I'm not a socialist, I'm free market. You know, can we just all get along and explain that I don't care if you call it democratic capitalism with a sous-son, with a dash of social justice, with a little bit of social action, with a little bit of social togetherness? Because I don't know about you, but I really don't want to hire private contractors to build my sewers, to build my dams, to build my roads. No, thank you. Because arguing with my neighbors about who's going to put up what and everything else, no, that's what we do in Congress. That's why we vote together to do things. Now, I know some of this latest omnibus bill has some pork in it, but part of the reason it had 40% of it is Republican pork. I don't know whether that's TRAFE exactly or not kosher, but hey, whatever. It's there. And the reason it's there is because, okay, there are occasionally some very, very stupid public works projects that are included in that and some really silly stuff. But most of the time, it's like about cleaning up your backyard, about making sure that the I-25 corridor runs well. It's about making sure we have light rail in Denver. It's about making sure that we have enough infrastructure in the city and county of Denver in order and Boulder and along the Front Range and everywhere else I can think of in the sound of my voice. Look around you. Just look around. Take a deep breath today and look around and appreciate things. Go pat the interstate highway. Thank you, President Eisenhower. You gave this to us. You know, when you turn on your cable TV, know that that broadband, you know what the biggest meeting, the most crowded meeting in Washington lately, and the lobbyists, many of them were frozen out, poor babies, was the broadband meeting to carry broadband to a rural area. Now, I grew up in a town of 200 people in Nunn, Colorado. Let me tell you something. Broadband in rural counties means a lot. We have overcrowded cities. You want people to be able to move out and spread out and do things in a way that makes our country stronger. You want to make farmers truly stronger in this country? Hey, bring them broadband, America. Bring them satellite. Bring, you know, all this nonsense about digital. Go and get them satellite TV so they don't ever lose touch with really important things that they may need to know, like where the heck do I get out of here if there's a tornado? You know, go pat your radio, because a lot of this infrastructure, go pat your light bulb. Well, not the hot ones. Hopefully you have carbon fluorescent light bulbs and it won't burn your fingers when you pat it. But go around your house today and say, thank you for rural electrification project, Depression era. That literally brought electricity into the boondocks. And since I'm from the boondocks, I like electricity. And maybe because I'm from the boondocks and I tell you, every time I see a bookmobile, I want to pull over and kiss it and say, thank you for bringing culture, bringing knowledge, literature to my town of 200 people. I think we forget, you know, we were just laughing this morning because we found a clock on the internet. And we were so excited. Actually, I didn't find a clock. A friend, a colleague of mine is from North Carolina, found the clock. And he was like, look, Aaron, I found a clock. And I was like, wow, it's 6:12 in Denver. Hooray. And the thing is, you know, I hope I never lose that sense of wonder. We were talking about it. I said to him, I said, aren't you glad we're from rural small towns so that forever after in our lives, we won't be jaded city folk. We'll look around and go, wow, isn't that cool? Look at that. We found that on the internet. And you know what? I really never want to lose that sense of wonder. And in the midst of all this depression, yes, we had Citigroup rise to the fore yesterday. I hope you bought it at $1.62. I really do. And, you know, I don't know whether you followed Jim Cramer's advice or not. Boy, am I loving John Stewart, making fun of him, though. And making fun of all these pundits, these economic pundits, who have been jerking us around, just like corporate America has been jerking us around for years now. You know, as I go around and pat the real things that we have, the tangible assets, broadband internets. IPAT, you know,